So it's Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay, Pastor Paul.
Thank you. Could you turn this on, please? Is this on? Thank you. Thank you, Samantha, for reading the scripture passage, and thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. It's good to come into the house of the Lord to worship Him without any hindrance. It is really the grace of God that we can do so regularly, Sunday after Sunday. And just now, I heard that you guys were tired from the transit rally. So how many of you did participate? Great. Wonderful. So who won? Great. Yeah. Well, despite the inclement weather, I guess you guys, did enjoy it. Great. And, to tell you what, I am tired too. I'm tired from the BC Interior short-term mission. The team came back last Wednesday, and so I'm still kind of, wobbly and not really that strong yet. So I ask you to pray for me as you hear the message from the Lord, and let us come before the Lord, all right? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for watching over us in the past week. We thank you that we could have health, we could have ability, we could have all kinds of good things from you to enjoy so that we could live a very full week. We thank you for blessing the transit rally. Thank you for giving us fun, for allowing us to deepen our relationship in you. We give thanks to you. And now as we come together to praise you and to listen to your word, we thank you for Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. As we open to this passage, we ask that your Spirit will walk us through, help us understand what your word has to say to us, give us humility and a teachable spirit. May we all benefit from the teaching of the Apostle Paul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we study the book of the Philippians, we notice that one of the themes of this book is joy, right? Joy is the main theme of the book of Philippians. Together with other cognate words in this entire book, there are altogether 16 times when Paul mentioned joy. So this really made the word joy stand out. Another reason why the word joy or its cognate words stand out is that this letter to the Philippians was written when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. Even though he was in that kind of plight, in that kind of difficult situation, Paul was still filled with joy. He remained joyful, especially when he heard the report from Epaphroditus, a representative from the Philippian church to Rome. When he heard Epaphroditus tell him that the enthusiasm of the Philippians in preaching the gospel, in spreading the good news, had not subsided, had not become less because of Paul's imprisonment. Rather, they kept on going, preaching the word of God. They kept on going, letting other people know about Jesus Christ. And this report really made Paul very joyful. And so, right at the beginning of that chapter, chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, I invite you to turn to that chapter again. Paul says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. 10 years earlier, Paul saw this Macedonian vision. So he was led by the Holy Spirit. He traveled with Silas and Luke to the city of Philippi to preach the gospel, to start the church there. Since then, he and the Philippian Christians formed a very good partnership in the gospel. Whether Paul was on the missionary journey or in prison in Rome, the Philippian Christians always provided for him, always gave him supplies. And they themselves continued the preaching of the gospel in their own city. And that's why Paul says, because the Philippians' partnership in the gospel from the first day until that moment when he was writing the letter to them, the Philippians' performance, their Christian life, really made Paul very joyful. We praise the Lord. The interior BC short-term mission team, together with the co-worker from Chinese Christian Mission, altogether there were 11 of us. We also experienced the joy of partnership in the gospel. We thank the Lord for blessing the trip, for blessing our mission. And we traveled in the name of the Lord. We went out in the name of the Lord to preach the gospel. And the church here in Burnaby supported us by prayer. We are on the front line and you guys are in the rear supporting us by your prayer. And that is a wonderful partnership in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Could you flash that slide, please? Altogether, we traveled to different towns and cities. Together, we traveled 3,500 kilometers from Vancouver down here somewhere. We traveled through 100 Mile House, up Williams Lake, Quesnel, Prince George, all these red dots we traveled to, all right? And we even took the ferry to cross the sea to Hyderabad, formerly known as Queen Charlotte Islands. Altogether, we traveled 3,500 kilometers. It's a very long journey. And from town to town, from place to place, we spoke in Cantonese, we spoke in English, and we spoke in Mandarin. We talked to all these restaurant owners and local people about Jesus Christ. Although the trip was long, although we didn't have enough sleep, every single member was very lighthearted. We were very joyful and thankful. And we witnessed with our very own eyes the work of the Holy Spirit. For example, in a small town, in the entire town, there was only one Chinese from Hong Kong. He had been there running a restaurant for over 30 years. On the day we visited him, he was chit-chatting with us. He was laughing and joking, talking about his life on the island or over there. And at first, he was just chit-chatting, laughing and joking. And we could detect in his laughing and joking, he was trying to cover up some of the pains in his life. He didn't want us to know it. He wanted to shy away from it. And every time we talked about Jesus Christ, he showed some anger, some irritation, and even despise. Why? Because he had seen Christians' hypocrisy. He had experienced Christians' ugliness. But that afternoon, when we were visiting with him, the Holy Spirit worked on him, impressed upon his mind and heart. And he did something which he had never done before in his life. He shared with us, strangers, mind you that. He shared with us the hurts that he had gotten from Christians. And he opened up himself. While he was sharing, he was crying at the same time. He felt very, uneasy. He felt a bit ashamed because he was, an adult, over 50 years old. He was crying in front of us, strangers. But we comforted him and we told him that it is God's mercy on him. God was touching him gently, helping him to be released from those years of hurt and pain. And he felt much better afterwards. He did not believe or accept Jesus Christ on that day, but we believe that the seed of the gospel had been planted in his life. And I have no doubt that he would soon become a Christian. On the second last day, the Holy Spirit continued to manifest his work. We went to Prince George to host a gospel meeting. We never contacted, or I should say, we never met the Chinese Christians in that city. We contacted the person in charge by email. And on that afternoon, we didn't know how many people would show up. We didn't know among them how many were Christians. But we praised the Lord. After the potluck dinner, when we counted the heads, not counting the mission team members, there were altogether 25 local adults. And amongst them, almost half were non-Christian. Isn't that great? Just like what we did in Prince Rupert, we got ready. Each one of us, each team member would take charge of the AV system, take charge of the children's program, and did the sharing. But we did something different from what we did in Prince Rupert. In Prince George, we had to use Mandarin. You see, we usually worship in Cantonese, right, in our church, or in English. We never did do it in Mandarin. And so it was quite a challenge. But praise the Lord. God's grace is sufficient. He gave us strength to do it in Mandarin, which we never did before. And Auntie Jessie spoke in Mandarin, and she gave a wonderful testimony of her salvation fluently in Mandarin. Maybe later on she will come up and share with you in Mandarin, see if you understand her. All right? And by the time of the altar call, five people accepted Jesus Christ, and two Christians recommitted themselves to the Lord. Isn't that great? That result was even bigger than the one person who came to know the Lord in Prince Rupert. God was telling us, we need not have to worry about anything. What he gave, what he prepared for us was much more than what we expected. He reminded us that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the harvest, and it is he who sends us out to reap the harvest. Only the Holy Spirit has that ability, has that power to convert people to Jesus Christ. And we praise God for that partnership in the gospel. We went out to the front line, and you guys stay behind to pray for us. To God be the glory. Because the Philippian Christians had that partnership in the gospel with the Apostle Paul from the very first day, Paul was very thankful. He was very joyful. He gave thanks to God for his brothers and sisters in Philippi. And so he said this to them. In verse 6, if you look at verse 6, he says, being confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The phrase, he who began a good work and will carry it on to completion, this phrase has that connotation of sacrifice, has that connotation of offering. Paul regards Christian life as an offering, ready to be sacrificed to Jesus Christ. Just as what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul reminded the Philippian Christians that it is God who saved them. He who started the work of salvation in them would be faithful to the end. Also, it is God who stirred their hearts up to have that enthusiasm to spread the good news. He who began that good work will continue in them till the day they see Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Christ the King is coming back soon. And at that time, you and I are asked to present our account to Him, to show our love to Him, to show that we have been faithful to Him. Are you ready to give that account? And sometimes you may feel that your spiritual life is not progressing, it's not going anywhere. And sometimes you are bothered by your shortcomings, and you feel that you are inadequate. And sometimes you feel that you are incomplete, and you are unfinished, or you are not accomplished. And when you feel discouraged, when you feel downhearted, I want you to remember, God your Father has never forsaken you. God your Father has never left you. Because He has promised you the good work that He has begun in you, He will finish it till the day you see Christ Jesus your Lord. And this is the same way that He helped the Philippian Christians. God will give you grace. God will give you help. And so never forget God's promise and never forget God's providence. Don't ever let your current spiritual condition prevent you from coming to Jesus Christ, to deprive you of the joy and all the good things that Christ has in store for you. All the more, when you are weak, you should come to the Lord. All the more when you are down, you should come to the Lord for more strength, for more power. You know, we thank God. Jesus Christ says to you today, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So let us take hold of this wonderful promise that Christ has given to us. Let us continue this pilgrimage here on earth, faithfully following God, faithfully serving God, till the day we see our Lord. Yes, life is full of turmoils, difficulties, challenges, unpleasant things. And yet we praise the Lord, because God is above all this. God says to you today, you are the apple of my eye. I love you, and I love you to the end. You are precious in my sight. You believe that? You believe that? So let us count the blessings that God has been giving to us. Because the more we do so, the less we will look at our troubles. The more we do so, the more we will give thanks to God. Because indeed, God's grace is much more than the troubles that we face every day. Amen. Now, this is a short message. Why? Because the following time belongs to you. We want you to come and share what God has been doing in your life. Come and give glory to God, give thanks to God, and lift one another up in Jesus Christ. Encourage one another as we journey here on earth. All right? So as you prepare, by the way, you are allowed only 3 minutes. All right? This morning, there were 6 people, aunties and uncles. They did a wonderful job. And I hope that, you know, you will do a better job too. All right? Now, as you prepare, I ask the worship team to come and let us sing that song, Give Thanks. All right? So hopefully that song will help you prepare. All right? Give Thanks. Kelvin, could you